This week's Labyrinth Library podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/lablib. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Hello and again, welcome to the Labyrinth Library podcast. I hope you are well this week. I am well. My week off was an excellent idea. Let me tell you this, if you can do it, if you can pull this off, take time off from work. Let all your coworkers keep doing what they're doing. But if you look at your workload and you say, you know what, I don't need to be here for a couple days or a few days, highly recommend that, if you can do it. If you can't do it, and I've had jobs where you can't do it, you know, the retail jobs or things like that, I have greatest sympathy. I empathize with you. I really do. But if you can find a way, highly recommended it. I spent a lot of time sleeping in and doing errands that normally I can't do because for some reason the city office is only open when people are at work. But anyway, that was nice. Things are chugging along. You know, the kids are all doing whatever they do in this time off. And I've been going over some old reviews, seeing what I can, tart up and make look better. Books that I have to reread, perhaps, or maybe some reviews that I'm just not going to do because either I didn't like the book that much or I don't have the book anymore. That's kind of happened a lot, like books that I've cleared out and sent out in Bookmooch. But anyway, I have been keeping busy, week off, and Skyrim notwithstanding. I hope you have been as well. Why don't we jump into this week's review, because it is a little long. I told you last week that this was the kind of book that, if you were an American, would probably depress and upset you, because it tells American history from a very different point of view. Now, I thought that there was really one clear contender to this, but I was wrong. I got several good answers of books that only one of them that I have read. From my brother, I got Renegade History of the U.S. by Thaddeus Russell. And Marissa in the U.S., she submitted three guesses, A Different Mirror by Ronald Takaki, the Thaddeus Russell book, and Lies My Teachers Told Me by James Lowen, which I have read and will show up on the podcast eventually. Anyway, I really thought this was going to be a gimme. I was wrong. I guess this is a nice little cottage industry, which explains a lot. But from my experience, this is kind of where people turn when they want an example of that kind of American-hating revisionist history. They tend to turn to Howard Zinn. And this is A People's History of the United States. Again, this is a preconception on my part. I don't know if Zinn was the first, or if he's the biggest, or if he's just the most interesting one I've read. But anyway, People's History of the United States, Howard Zinn. History is, in its own special way, a fiction. Now, while it is made up of facts, you know, things that are verifiable or at the very least reliably accepted as being what really happened, our understanding of history rests on a certain assumption that doesn't always hold up, that what we are reading or what we are hearing is the truth, and that's with capital T. It's how we learn about history when we're kids, right? That this happened and that happened and that's all we really need to know. The problem is that we get our history from history books that don't tell the whole story. Oh, sure, it was true, yes, for a given value of true. But the historian who wrote the book did so with a very specific narrative in mind, one that fit his or her perceptions of the past and which, more importantly, would sell textbooks to hundreds of schools across the country. The history that we got from those books is designed to appeal to the sensibilities of a populace that is already inclined to think well of its nation and rarely deviates from that theme. Now, while they do try to note the excesses, the injustices, and the improprieties of the past, they tend to bury it in the glorious achievements of government and industry. Unfortunately, doing so means that there's a lot of history that gets left on the cutting room floor. Incidents, people, whole populations just get brushed aside because either there's not enough room for them, or because telling their story in detail ruins the mood the historian's trying to set, usually one of bright optimism for a good and just nation. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with this approach. Keep that in mind. An historian cannot practically include all historical viewpoints, good and bad, into a book meant to be used for only 180 days out of the year. So, out of expedience, if not a conscious desire to tell an uplifting tale, they write books that look upon our past as favorably as possible, while including just enough criticism of our failures to fend off any serious accusations of bias. As Zinn tells us, though, there is no such thing as an historian without bias. Every historian has a story to tell, and Zinn has decided that he doesn't want to tell the one we're all used to hearing. He starts in pretty much the same place as most American history books, with the coming of Christopher Columbus to the New World. Immediately, he reminds us that Columbus's mission was not one of exploration, but of commerce, and the first question he asked the natives of what he would label Hispaniola was, "Where is your gold?" And it all kind of went downhill from there. Reading this book, honestly, it would be very easy to get depressed, and I did. I mean, I can see how those who were brought up with a healthy dose of American exceptionalism, which is the idea the United States obeys different rules from the rest of the world, and more importantly, cannot do wrong, if you believe in that, then you would really, really dislike this book. It is page after page of lies and misdeeds, of cruelty, greed, and deception. It is the story of a nation built not on the principle that all men are created equal, but that all men must be leashed to the yoke of the capitalist overclass. It is a tale of genocide and oppression, of revolts, both peaceful and violent, and it never lets up for a moment. To his credit, however, Zinn tells us right up front that he's going to take the side of the oppressed, the dispossessed, and the put down. And there's no way you can tell that story without it being really depressing. It's pretty clear, pretty quickly, though, where his sympathies lie. He says, quote, "My viewpoint in telling the history of the United States is different, that we must not accept the memory of states as our own. Nations are not communities, and never have been. The history of any country, presented as the history of a family, conceals fierce conflicts of interest, sometimes exploding, most often repressed, between conquerors and conquered, masters and slaves, capitalists and workers, dominators and dominated, in race and sex. And in such a world of conflict, a world of victims and executioners, it is the job of thinking people, as Albert Camus suggested, not to be on the side of the executioners." End quote. Zinn's portrayal of the underclass, rebellious or not, is one of suffering nobility and the system as a deliberately malevolent entity. Any good that it does is simply whatever was necessary to maintain its power, and the above quote speaks to that. The parallel structure that he uses effectively groups all the upper class into the persecutor role and the lower class into the victims, and while there is some truth to that, I mean, human history, after all, is a long story of rich and powerful elites governing poor and powerless people, I feel it is painting with too broad a brush. He seems to work from the premise that all those with power are bad, and so all those without power must therefore be good. And as much as I wish that admitting bias was an excuse for it, it isn't. It does a disservice to all involved to flatten your view of American class system into two-dimensional shadow play. Not all the populist agitators were good and noble people, nor were all politicians cunning manipulators. You gotta keep that in mind as you read. It is a sobering read, though, to say the least. I mean, the best simile that I could come up with was, it was like watching your parents have sex. I'm sorry. It's something you always suspected went on, but you could have gone your whole life without being presented with the reality of it, and when you are, it's all you can think about. So it's no surprise that after reading this book, some people became absolutely insufferable, cynical, and disillusioned. Not me, of course. I've never been insufferable, cynical, or disillusioned. If you've already gone through that stage of your political thinking, by the way, you will find something else in this book, which is, oddly enough, hope. It's something you gotta dig for, but it is there, buried in the larger narrative that Zinn is telling us. Given the amount of detail that he goes into, it's very easy to lose sight of the larger picture at work. Zinn details slave rebellions, gives stories of workers pushed to extremes of human existence, soldiers thrown away for nothing, and entire segments of the population ignored or actively persecuted. But alongside these horror stories come tales of resistance. Whether it's the quiet contemplation by a poor white farmer over whether he might have more in common with his black neighbors than his white landlords, whether it's riots of prisoners and guards against a corrupt prison system, or the militant citywide shutdowns organized by the Wobblies, the people can only be pushed so far. And while the powers that be are very good at figuring out how to distract, scare, or defy the people, they eventually do make changes for the better, and everybody benefits a little. Inasmuch as this book is a chronicle of America's misdeeds over the last few centuries, It is also a tale of Americans' triumphs. It is a tribute to the will of the people who, no matter how difficult it may have been, decided to stand up and demand respect from the men who held the reins of power. It is a testament to the women who wanted equality, to the socialists who wanted a better world, the workers who wanted safe jobs and living wages, the blacks who wanted to be full citizens, and the Indians who wanted the wrongs of the past redressed. Not everybody's gotten what they wanted, though. America is still very much a work in progress, and there is bound to be backsliding as we go. What Zinn shows in this book is that no matter how bad the American government can be, or how greedy American business can become, the American people want what's best for themselves, and when the time comes, will stand up and shout for it. Given enough time and enough courage, the United States will continue to be a better and better nation, and perhaps someday, someday, it will finally fulfill all of our expectations for it. So let me give you a quote. This is not a quote from Howard Zinn. This is a quote from Frederick Douglass in 1857. Very well-known quote and very short and simple and to the point. He says, "Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will." Now, this is a big book, and it is a big read, and if you don't have time to read, or for some reason, you know, you spend too much time driving, or you like jogging, or doing something else that makes reading difficult, you can always listen to it on audio. That is right. Our good friends at Audible.com have People's History of the United States on audio. So go to audibletrial.com/lablib. That is audibletrial.com/lablib. You can start your free trial membership, which gets you a free book download. You can download People's History or any one of their many, many, many books from audibletrial.com/lablib. Go and support the podcast. Now, of course, Zinn died a few years ago, so he did not get to see the Occupy Wall Street movement. I think he would have been happy to see that. And I think the Occupy Wall Street movement, for all that does get derided as not having a singular goal or a singular sort of set of a wish list, if you want to call it that, I think it is keeping in that tradition of the American people being pushed only so far until finally some of us stand up and say this far and no more. And I don't know what kind of changes the Occupy movement is going to create. I don't know what's going to come of it, but hopefully it will help us move into a better country than we had, say, 5 years ago or 10 years ago. So we shall see. But the lesson is, for all the really, really crappy stuff that happens, everything in general gets better. But again, what I have noticed, though, is that there is a determined back push against this book, and it's the reason why I maybe thought of it as maybe more influential than it was. I actually saw a book in a bookstore. I almost bought it, but I didn't want to because I feared I would have to boil my hands. It was called The Patriots' History of the United States, and it was written in active defiance of Howard Zinn's book. It basically says that Zinn went through and told us why America is a crappy country. We are going to tell you the opposite story of why America is a brilliant country. And as I said at the beginning, there's both stories are there to be told. America has done brilliant and amazing and wonderful things that will live on in the minds of man as long as humans exist. But basically, as I flipped through the book, basically their position was, nuh-uh! No, wrong. It was kind of childish and kind of reactionary. So I did not buy it. I will not be reading it or reviewing it, which kind of undercuts my using it as a counter example. Anyway, point is, it's a very good book. It's a hard book, especially if you are an American, and especially if you did have or do have that vision of the United States as being a country that cannot do things wrong, because it can, and it will. All right. Next week is the last Thursday of the month, which means it's time for Wheel of Time. We're getting into book one. We started, as you may remember, last month with book zero. So this is book one. And a little bit of trivia. Please translate this bit of the old tongue for me. I may be mispronouncing it, but I'll do my best, and hopefully you can translate it for me. It's really one of my favorite lines of the old tongue, and if I could have one as a tattoo, this would probably be it. Sasovrea niende misanye. It kind of sounds very sort of Eastern European Russian. I'm not sure how Jordan built the old tongue, but that's the sound of it. Sasovrea niendi mesainye. Translate that for me and send it to me. But that is about it. We're running a little long this week, I think. I'll find out after I edit out all the dog noises and the ums and the ahs and the mistakes. Yes, you didn't know I did that, did you? There we go! We have revealed the dirty underbelly of the United States, and we have revealed the dirty underbelly of this podcast. Yes, I do edit. Everything that you hear is what I consider good enough to go out. There's lots of sniffles and coughs and false starts and bad pronunciations. And of course, yes, I have pets and they're noisy. So, anyway, stay well, stay happy, take some time off if you can, even if it's a half day. Take a half day. Leave work early if you can. If you can't, I'm so sorry. I feel bad now. I feel guilty. I am so privileged. Anyway, be well, be happy, and I will talk to you all again next week. A text version of this review will be up on the blog, thelablib.org, along with any relevant links I can think of. If you have anything you want to say or any suggestions you'd like to make, please leave a comment and let me know. If you have a book you would like to recommend, I would be happy to hear it. If you'd like to send me an email, send it to labyrinthlibrary@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, please give a review on iTunes, become a fan on Facebook, or follow LabLib on Twitter. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, so feel free to share it, but please don't sell it or change it. The music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week. And until then, keep reading.